The following resource is from lmpc.org and we're delighted to provide it freely to all. If you feel led to give towards the ministry of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, we welcome you to do so at lmpc.org/give.
A reading from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 through 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated.
Before I bring God's word to us this morning, I'm going to pray, and I want to inform you of something I will pray about. I want to pray specifically for Restoration Southside, a church that we supported significantly and sent Jared and that team down there. The church was started in large measure because of the idea and the work of our church planting and revitalization pastor in the presbytery, Ted Strawbridge. Yesterday, Ted tragically died in a drowning accident. He served as assistant pastor at Restoration Southside, as well as on our Mission in North America denominational agency to train church planners. This is a significant blow for a young church. It's hard for us, and I want to pray for the comfort of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, in the passage we'll hear this morning, the church prays, Sovereign Lord. We believe that still, even in the midst of such an awful reality yesterday. We bring to you the Strawbridge family, Mary Lou and the children, Ben Hooper, his wife, and Charlotte, this is her father. We pray for them. For Jared and Aaron, the entire Restoration Southside body who gathers this morning in shock and grief. Bring comfort of Holy Spirit with power. Shock them with the peace that you deliver. Grant grace to the Strawbridge family, to our presbytery, to our denomination, as we face this sad, huge loss. Grant grace to the family, please, Lord. As we turn our attention to this passage, we ask you very simply, like the disciples asked you, teach us to pray. please. In the name of Jesus, amen. So when you have a question, when you're in trouble, when you are facing something that's broken, when you need help, when you have fears, what's your instinct? I think we've developed a cultural instinct of sorts. It was revealed to me by my 5-year-old Simeon just recently as he entered a living room where I sat unannounced with no context at all and said, "Dad, ask Siri how many dinosaur species there are." Ask Siri. It's become a cultural instinct for questions or trouble. Do you know, according to a recent study, 89% of patients nationwide go to Dr. Google before they go to their doctor? They Google. That Google receives over 63,000 searches per second on any given day. That's at least 2 trillion searches per year. I think in this moment of technological development, we have developed an instinct where we go for our trouble, our fears, when something's broken, when we need help, we ask our phone, we go to Google. The church is threatened in Acts 4. They're not threatened in the way like, we're not going to like you anymore. They're threatened, we're going to kill you. What is their instinct? Prayer. The instinct of a threatened church is prayer. You see the instinctive reaction in verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. You remember last week, Peter and John had just spent the night in prison. The Jewish authorities didn't know what to do with them and did not like the teaching of the resurrection. And they told them to stop, and they threatened them. And Peter and John replied, "We can't stop." They come back and report this to the people, the church, that our lives are at risk. And what is the instinct of the church? Verse 24, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer. As one commentator said, as they hear this report, amazingly, the report doesn't produce consternation, but concentration in prayer. Their instinct when threatened, their instinct in trouble is to pray. Where did they get that instinct? You remember many in the room were followers of Jesus. Many in the room were disciples. They had watched Jesus. And Luke tells us one of the most common things Jesus did. If you read the Gospel of Luke, one of the most common things Jesus did was to pray. They got the instinct from watching their master. They had developed the reflex of prayer, that it was the first thing, not the last thing. How do you develop such an instinct? I think we must have 2 things: humility and community. If we're going to have an instinct to pray when anything comes into our lives, we must develop humility. What do I mean by that? Well, one of the reasons, in my understanding, that we do not pray is because we have too high a view of ourselves. We can fix it. We can handle it. The church gathered with these threats knows they are nothing in the face of the powers of that world. And so they are what? Helpless, needy. Do you realize the instinct of prayer fires among the needy? And yet, we are pretty self-sufficient, and so we're rather prayerless. We also, as we think too highly of ourselves, we actually have the pride of believing we're better than Jesus. Just think of the life of Jesus in prayer, and then think of our own prayerlessness and think, what pride! You have to have humility to have the instinct of prayer, but also community. Please note, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. The instinct of prayer is not developed as an individual, it's developed in community. You learn to do this by praying together, and if we're honest in the Western church, and even in our church, corporate communal prayer, in my estimation, is the greatest weakness we face. You don't develop this instinct on your own. You develop it praying together in humility. As they pray, what is their focus? Well, they have a fortifying focus, a focus that strengthens them and bolsters them. It's a focus on several things: the nature of God, the Word of God, the cross of Christ, the mission of God. Phrases in their prayer like, you made, you said, you decided. That's the fortifying focus of their prayer. They begin with the nature of God. They say, Sovereign Lord. That's how they approach the throne of grace. Sovereign Lord, with a title, a term in the Bible that is used for a ruler with unchallengeable power. Their approach in the face of the threats of this world is to pray to the one who has absolute control over all of his universe, including every adversity, every trial, and every threat. Sovereign Lord. It is used in prayer two other times in the New Testament. Luke 2:29, Sovereign Lord, Simeon prays, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. In Revelation 6, they called out in a loud voice, How long, Sovereign Lord, holy and true? And do you know who is praying that? It is the martyrs. The ones who had their lives taken are calling out to God with that grand title, even in the face of how their life ended, Sovereign Lord, how long? And in Jude, Jesus Christ is called our only Sovereign Lord. They call out in the midst of fear and threat. They focus on the nature of God. Sovereign Lord, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And in that moment, with saying, you made, they are actually praying the exact words of Psalm 146. I am struck in Acts by how often the church prays and proclaims the word of God that they didn't hold in their hands. They had hidden it in their heart. And over it is the Psalms, the Psalter, Jesus' songbook. It is in them. They are praying Psalm 146 that reads, Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose help is the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them. That's Psalm 146. And I believe the situation sent their minds there because in Psalm 146, later in verse 7, it says, The Lord sets prisoners free. And Peter and John have just showed back up. Further, it says in Psalm 146, do not put your trust in princes like Herod and Pilate and the Sanhedrin. It says, don't put your trust in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirits depart, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to what? Nothing. the Lord frustrates the ways of the wicked. You see, as they're praying Psalm 146 of you made, that word is hidden in their heart. It informs their prayer, and the nature of God, a sovereign creator, is a great comfort. God's sovereign control is our soul's confidence. Heidelberg Catechism 26 details beautifully the comfort of sovereign Lord. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? Listen to this. That the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God, and he desires to do this because he's a faithful Father. Their prayer goes to the nature of God, namely the sovereign creator, God himself. And then the fortifying focus is on the Word of God. It's already been there with Psalm 146. But after saying, you made, in verse 25, they say, you spoke. You spoke. How did God speak? Through the mouth of David, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And in that one little verse, you have the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. And as they mention the Word of God, they go to Psalm 2. And what is interesting to me is that so much of what they say to God in prayer is shaped by what God has said to them in Scripture. Hear that. So much of what they say to God in prayer is shaped by what God has said to them in Scripture. And that is a wonderful note for our prayer. They go now to Psalm 2, and they pray. Again, it is in them. It is not held by them. It is hidden in them. And so they pray out what is in. There's a story of Wang Cordero visiting China. He's pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Hawaii. As he went for a trip to train the Christians there, 22 Christians from Hunan province took a 13-hour train ride to attend this leadership training in a 700-square-foot hotel room. Out of the 22, 18 had been imprisoned for their faith. As Cordero got up to teach, he asked, if we get caught, what will happen to me? They said, you'll get deported, and we'll go to prison for 3 years. Teach on. After beginning his lesson, the pastor realized he only had 15 Bibles. He was seven short. He said, turn to 2 Peter for our reading, 2 Peter 1. He noticed one lady handed her Bible to another, and as the Christians began reading, he quickly realized why she had given her Bible away. She had memorized the entire book of 2 Peter. Afterwards, Cordero went to her and said, you recited the whole chapter. She said, yes, in prison, people would smuggle scripture written on strips of paper. And you had to memorize it as fast as you can before the guards would take it away. They may take the paper away, but they couldn't take away what we hid in our heart. One of the reasons our prayer lacks is the scripture's not hidden in our heart. It's hidden in their heart, so they pray Psalm 2. They know not only what God said, but what God said that would mean truth for this moment. And so they say, "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain?" Think of that. The nations, Gentiles, the peoples, Jews. An international conspiracy. They're right in the middle of it. Why do they do that in vain? Remember Psalm 146, their plans come to nothing. The wicked, he will frustrate. That's the theme of this psalm too. It says the kings of the earth. Mark refers to Herod as what? King Herod. The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers, Pilate, gather together. As they say in verse 27, Herod and Pilate gathered together with the Gentiles. They are interpreting their circumstances through the lens of Scripture and praying it. It says they gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one, who in verse 27 they pray is the holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. So they know that the anointed one of Psalm 2 is Jesus. And here's the point. It's in the rest of Psalm 2. Surely at some point they prayed it or talked about it, because the rest of Psalm 2 says, "Let us break their chains," they say, "and throw off their fetters." And here's the response of the one who sits enthroned in heaven to the international conspiracy of the rulers of this world against Jesus. He laughs. The one who sits in heaven, enthroned in heaven, laughs. He laughs. He scoffs at them, it says. I believe the people gathered together in prayer fixed their attention on the word of God in Psalm 2, because in the midst of those threats and their fears, they needed to hear the laughter of God together. They needed to hear God in the midst of those threats saying, "Ha! They're threatening me." That's what Psalm 2 gave them. Are our prayers molded by God's word to us? Is God's word hidden deep within us so that it comes out of us in prayer? And having fortified themselves by praying a focus on the nature of God and the word of God, they now go to the cross of Christ. From you made to you spoke to you decided, verse 27. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. This is marvelous focus of the cross of Christ. They are praying. As they think of the cross, they are praying. Understanding that the cross seemed like the moment where the rulers were breaking the chains of God's reign. As they consider that moment that was just months past, they are considering how the conspirators took the life of their master Jesus and had seemingly shut his purposes down, when in reality they had only accomplished the purposes of God. And the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The cross seems like Satan and his angels gained the upper hand, and it was actually them fostering their own weapon for their own defeat because of God's sovereign control. Listen, as Dennis Johnson says, God rules not only in Eden's perfections, but also in Calvary's horrors. And therefore, with confidence, I say, nothing, therefore, is out of the realm of his reign. No tragedy, no trial. No drowning of a pastor and a friend. God is sovereignly in control, even over the horrific death of his own son. The cross does not show off human power. It shows off God's power. And they fix their focus there. They pray the nature of God, the word of God, the cross of Christ. Then they go to the mission of God. They now make request. Consider, take in mind their threats, Lord. Enable, help us speak with boldness. Stretch out your hand and do miraculous signs and wonders. They're not praying that for fireworks. They're praying that for verification before the world's eyes that they may know Jesus. And I want you to notice, they're not praying for protection, comfort, or safety. It doesn't mean that prayers for protection or rescue are inappropriate. Let me tell you this, they're just not primary. But the trinity of prayer in the Western world is protection, safety, and comfort. And the church here shows us that is not primary. What is primary is a request for Christ promoting courage for the sake of the Lord's fame among the nations. That's primary. That only becomes primary if you're focused on the nature of God and the Word of God and the cross of Christ. But I'm afraid we pray backwards. Christianity Today had an article by Andrew Wilson from King's Church in England. The title of it, Our Prayer Instincts Are Backwards. What I learned about our prayers on a shaky flight to New Zealand. The flight seemed like it was going to crash, and Wilson writes, as the shaky flight seemed to be losing control and going down, the entire plane began to pray versions of the back half of the Lord's Prayer. Deliver us from evil sounded like this. Help! God save us! Don't let us die. Prayers like, forgive us our debts. Forgive me for everything I'm done. I'm sorry. Prayers like, give us this day our daily bread. Please fix this. Keep us safe. Come through right now. Know our Father. Know hallowed be thy name. Know thy kingdom come, know thy will be done. He said, left to our own devices, we prefer prayers of self-preservation. Left to our own devices, I'm telling you, in our world of comfort where we are, and with our gifts and education and self-sufficiency, it is so easy to follow Jesus and pray prayers of protection, comfort, and safety. That is not primary. The only way we'll realize in prayer that that is not primary is if we begin to pray the nature of God, the Word of God, and the cross of Christ. And having done that, they receive a spectacular confirmation in verse 31. After they prayed, the place where they met was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, spoke the word of God boldly. Many of us may say, well, I would pray like this if I knew the place was going to be shaken. It would verify that for me. If I could get this result, I would do that. Let me tell you, when you pray like this, I want to tell you what's shaken. It's not necessarily the building. It's us. And if you really know yourself, your self-sufficiency and your desire for self-preservation, if you pray like this and see God changing you, to not pray for protection and safety and comfort, but to pray for the primary purposes of God, you should know God's at work, because that's not you. He's shaking your life. I want to ask you this question. When is the last time you did something that could only be attributed to the power of the Holy Spirit? When is the last time you did something that could only be attributed to the power of the Holy Spirit? He shook your life. If we're having trouble coming up with an answer. We need to pray. If we're coming up with an answer, we need to pray. So let's pray. Shake us, O God, our God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Be our guard of mind and heart when we experience troubles. Guard us to pray. Remind us that your arm alone is sufficient, that we dwell completely secure under the shadow of your throne. We praise you as the Creator God, sovereign, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And because you are Almighty Creator God, we are confident of your provision for body and soul. We are confident that you are able and will turn to our good whatever adversity you send us in this sad world. We praise you as the inspiration of all of Scripture, that nothing in your word is there that we cannot trust. Help us to follow you and speak about you with boldness, resting in your care, trusting in your absolute sovereignty. And please, O sovereign Lord, teach us at LMPC the instinct of prayer. In the name of our powerful Savior, amen.